Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank. It is time now for the bigger picture. Let's take a look at what investors are paying attention to today.
Yes, so Asian stocks look set to follow the US peers lower, and they have at the open because the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has refrained from pushing back against the recent surge in bond yields, treasuries slumping. It's that classic case of economists had these expectations and Powell didn't deliver.
Well, Powell noted the recent run-up in yields without hinting at intervention, saying that he would be concerned by disorderly conditions. Some investors view the rate moves as a sign of economic strength. Others are growing concern about rising inflation and the impact of higher yields on elevated stock valuations.
Meanwhile, you've had oil prices on the move. This after OPEC Plus, the alliance, surprised traders with the decision to keep output unchanged. Now, that signals a tighter market in the months ahead, and it certainly puts some fire under prices.
On the line with us this morning is Gary Dugan, the CEO of the Global CIO Office. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Good morning to you.
Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start off with some oil talk. OPEC and its allies kept oil watchers guessing about their next move after a day of preliminary talks offered, well, not many clues as to whether the market will get the April supply increase it's expecting. Gary, in your opinion, where do prices go from here?
Probably still higher. I think, you know, a complete surprise to the market. It was expected that there would be some modest increases in production again, given the market had seen such a significant rise in oil prices. But this kind of commitment from all sides to maintain the production cuts, I think, pushes oil higher.
Yeah, and we can get to talking about the inflation aspect of that in just a sec. But before we do, one of the things that is jumping in tandem are bond yields, Gary. So let's talk about whether or not they will go higher.
They probably will. I mean, I think the problem here for the market is that they just don't know how high they could go. I mean, if you go back and look at some theory of where yields would be, given the degree of growth that we expect in the U.S. economy, you know, we should be thinking in terms of 3%. So I think Powell made a mistake overnight in not giving some suggestions to the market that he was uncomfortable. So if he won't take a decision, the market will push yields higher until the Fed intervenes.
All right, so someone's going to react there. Gary, look at the rise in commodity prices. I mean, what is your own expectation of inflation pressures?
Yeah, I think people just don't appreciate how high inflation will go, at least in terms of headline numbers in the coming months. If you look at the United States, it's now a consensus that U.S. Consumer price inflation around about the middle of this year will be around 3.5%. Now, there's lots of one-off factors that are driving into that kind of number, but that will come as a complete surprise. And I think it will damage confidence to some degree and will make people sit up and go, have we really got an inflation problem? Mm-hmm. Hence the sell-off in the bond market.
Yeah, I mean, let's just extrapolate a little bit more, if we can, on inflation prospects and what central banks are doing.
Okay.
Because this has been the focus, right, is people are looking for signals from these central banks, but we're basically not getting anything. And I feel like we're, to a certain extent, caught between a rock and a hard place, because the WHO came out this week and warned, actually, if you thought that the situation was getting any better, we've seen these coronavirus cases back on the rise again. It feels like there are different stories going on here in parallel, and they're heading in different directions. What's your take?
Yes, I think many of the factors you just mentioned, a lot of people are just hoping it's just a one-off. So the inflation will be a one-off. A rise in COVID cases will be a one-off. And that once we get beyond that, we'll be still looking at a world of relatively benign inflation, modest growth, and, you know, equity markets continue to rise and bond yields go down. But it isn't going to be that simple. I think that the inflation shock in the middle of the year is still something the markets are going to try and cope with.
And look, the truth is we're still waiting, right, for the Senate to debate the relief package in the U.S. You know, that was something that was put on the agenda earlier in the week because it obviously cleared the House of Representatives. But that's the next bit of big news that we're looking for. But that means cash injection for households, right?
It does, and it's absolutely enormous. I mean, household incomes for a month go up by about 10 or 15%. But there are some, you know, people, economists out there saying, we're not so sure that people will run out and spend all of that money as they did through late last year. So it still will be a massive package. Undoubtedly, it's 8 percentage points of GDP, totally unprecedented. And even if the Senate plays around with the numbers a bit, you've still got a massive stimulus to the biggest economy in the world.
We're speaking with Gary Dugan, the CEO of the Global CIO Office on The Bigger Picture. Gary, turning our attention now to Asian markets, or even global markets for that matter, looking at how markets have closed out this week, is it signs that perhaps technology stocks are coming under a bit of pressure now?
They are. I mean, I think they were kind of ripe for some profit taking. If you take the last 12 months, they've still outperformed the broad market by about 15 to 20%, but they have corrected 10% more than the market, the broad market, in just the last few weeks. So I see it as profit-taking. I don't think people are going to give up on technology stocks, given that they've just got such transparently good growth for the future.
Mm. Yeah, but there has been this comment, right, that the first ones to suffer when you're thinking about inflationary expectations are the tech stocks, because yeah. Here you've got companies that have expanded through major leverage. Would you say that that's a reality? Is that something we have to be wary of?
I think you've got to be wary of it, but it's just an initial reaction. So yeah, you're absolutely right. What people look at is long-term growth rate, extremely strong. And if the discount rate, so the interest rate in the economy, is very low, then they tend to get extremely high valuations. Now, to be fair, the NASDAQ index has not been on the most extreme valuations as we had back in the year 2000. So I would see the correction as an ordinary correction in a path of the growth stocks. And I think even if their interest rates are higher in the future, these will still be a good component of most people's portfolios.
Gary, let's have some fun with this one. The Hang Seng Index, there are plans for a bit of a makeover. And since we were talking about technology, there has been comments that the STI did not quite take advantage of the technology boom last year during COVID. Does the STI need a makeover when it's especially so heavily reliant on the big banks?
Yeah, I think any market in the world would love to have more technology and more growth, but you can't just make it up. So I think the STI will certainly have to wait a bit longer. But you know, there's a good bedrock of VC and PE, you know, venture capital and private equity in the tech sector happening here in Singapore. When those companies get bigger and more established, I'm sure they'll make their debut on the STI, and the STI can then move to more of a tech index.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of that in terms of time frame? Because obviously it takes time for you to go from that point in your growth cycle, in your life cycle, to the point at which you're going to be publicly listing on a market. Mm-hmm. But everything is accelerated in today's day and age. Before, where that may have taken, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, today, it's a much shorter time, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I think at the moment the problem is that the US is grabbing all of the new deals that are happening. And very often Asian companies rush to the NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange for a listing rather than bypassing the Asian markets. But Asia's got the money, Asia's got the growth, and Asia should have strong stock markets.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, I don't know if you saw this, but did you see this story about the dual listing on the TASE in Israel, Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, yeah. And the Singapore Stock Exchange? And the interesting point about that was that it's seen as a hook in to the US markets. Are partnerships like that going to be very important for Singapore?
I think they will, but at the end of the day, as I said, there is so much capital, and the growth of the capital here, not just in Singapore as a financial center, but in Asia in general, it needs, you know, much more greater volume of companies here in local markets. And I think that will come to pass. I think in time, the US will not be so dominant.
Mm. Okay. Gary Dugan, the CEO of the Global CIO Office on The Bigger Picture. Gary, as always, we appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.